This is the Super Tati Chabura for Parshas Devarim. This Chabura is dedicated for the Refuah Shlema of Moshe ben Rachelmina, Eliana Malka, Bas Yerochel, and Yosef David ben Rachel Bela. It's 1 o'clock, let's begin. I have three, maybe four fun stories. First story is a story about the Sfas Emes. His grandfather was the Chidush Arim, and there is an instance where apparently he had the opportunity to learn with his grandfather plenty, and we'd go to his shiurim and get to learn with him and everything. And there was one time where I've heard two versions of the story. Either he came late to shiur, or he slept a little bit later than he normally did, and the Chidush Arim proceeded to give him a little bit of mussar about it. And, you know, he said, look, you know, this is not the right way to do it. However he expressed it, I'm sure was appropriate. But during the course of that conversation, the Chidush Arim discovered that the reason why the Sfas Emes had kind of had a later schedule than he normally did was because he had stayed up all night learning the Chavrusa, and then he davened Vasikin, and then he was a little bit tired, so, you know, his schedule ran a little bit late. When he was confronted about the idea, why is it that you just didn't tell him, you know, that you had been doing all these really laudatory practices, his response was, it would be a chaval, it would be just such a terrible thing to waste my grandfather's tochacha. When my grandfather gives me rebuke, I want to hear it, regardless of whether or not it's based on a true understanding of the facts or circumstances or not. His words matter to me, and tochacha is important. Shlomo Melech says that a tzaddik, when they hear tochacha, they're going to thank you for it. So it really is a sign of, at a very young age, an eight-year-old's Sfas Emes, the material that he was made of. And it's an important thing now when we hear the very harsh words of rebuke, that we see. And when we go through the kinos and when we see the rebuke that is hinted to in the beginning of Parshas Dvarim and everything else, that this is for our good. And tochacha is a path to improvement. Second is a story about Rav Chatzkel Abramsky. And this was when he was in Slobodka. So there was a person davening for the Amud who started making a significant amount of mistakes when they were davening for the Amud for whatever reason. And the mistakes were, for lack of a better term, they were laughable. And laughs and smiles and giggles were becoming contagious around the minyan as the Shliach Tzipor continued to make further and further mistakes. And those expressions were on the face of nearly everybody except for one person. That's Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Finally, at the end of this experience, everybody turned to Rav Yecheskel Abramsky and said, how could you use this? Meaning, this is something that was objectively funny, I suppose. So they said, how could it that you could be such a moshel, in such control over yourself, to the extent that you can hear something which is objectively funny and just not even crack a smile? And he said, it's very simple. I was remembering the Chazal when it says that Hamal bin Pnei Chavero ein lo chelek l'olam haba, somebody who embarrasses their friend loses their share in the world to come. And for Rabbi Abramsky, it was so important not to cause the embarrassment to somebody else that was his priority, and he had such Yir Shamayim that he had that in mind right in the front of his thought process as this was going on. I would also mention there's an interesting ha'ara in this story, is that when you say that you lose your chelik in Olam Haba, lichora, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky had done a lot of things to earn a chelik in Olam Haba, and he was a Yerei Shamayim, and had obviously, I would presume that he had climbed the ladder so hard that he was more in the world of Avas Hashem, in the world of love, or Yiras HaRomamus, or, you know, a fear of disappointing Hashem, or even Yiras Chet, the way that the Ramchal would describe it. I mean, he was on a much higher level than just somebody worried about a patch from the Bi'urna Shel Olam, regardless of how strong that patch is. And I think this is an important reminder for us. We always try to balance, you know, our formulaic nature with appreciation and love for Hashem and our Karas HaTov and all the other positive motivators that make us want to serve the Bi'urna Shel Olam. But that needs to be weighted with just simple Yiras HaOnesh as well. We need to understand that we really do believe in reward and punishment, and that reward and punishment is a cornerstone to the way that we act and live. Last one is Rav Shach. Rav Shach, in the establishment of Yeshivas Meshach Chochma in Bnei Brak, one of the takanos that were put in effect was that they should have a set seder every day of half an hour of learning Chumash and Rashi, trying to understand the Rashi, meaning actually to learn it well, as opposed to just do lip service to, you know, to that Rashi. And it's told, the way that I saw it, is that in all of the conversations with the Rosh Yeshiva, when they were consulting with Rav Shach about something, he would always ask about this takana. Meaning, are you guys holding to it? Are you doing, are you doing this Seder? Meaning to say, this is chizik for all of us, that we should be learning Chumash, we should be learning Chumash and Rashi, and we should be learning it not like we're davening it, not like we're saying Tehillim, but we should be learning it like we're learning. So it's also a chizik to all of us when we're learning with our children. Next, some Divrei Torah. One of the... We see an unkelus at the beginning of the parsha, the names of all these places. Moshe Rabbeinu's monologue is there, and it's mentioning a lot of the averus of Klal Yisrael, but it's mentioning them beremes in a hint and not saying them directly. And Chazal explain that this is lichvod anshel Yisrael. This is to maintain the dignity and honor of Klal Yisrael, that a frontal tochacha wouldn't be appropriate, and we need to do things much more subtly. And the problem is that subsequently we have psukim in this very same sefer that says, you know, things like Mamri Me'isim Hashem, you've been rebellious with Hashem, a rebellious people. It's not only a characteristic, but you were these kinds of people, and that is as explicit as can be. So the Yalkut Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ginsburg, explains that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu can do that there is, notwithstanding the idea that it's a good idea to hint and to think about what's going to land and what's going to work, there, that statement is subsequently coupled with words of Shevach, words of praise, where he says, V'atam advekim Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom, those who have still attached themselves to Ribbono Shel Olam, you're alive now. And this is a concept which my wife has introduced me to, called the magical ratio of, you know, kind of the hard stuff to hear and the soft stuff to hear, or the concept of a recipe, is that we need to find kind of the right ratio to make things accepted. That's part of the mitzvah of tochacha. Tochacha needs to be something that somebody may want to hear. Otherwise, it's really just onas devarim. It's pain, and that you're not allowed to do. And this is all, you know, as Shlomo Melech says, Chacham Be'in of Barosho, we need to think about what we really think will work. And if we have no clue, it's a good idea to ask somebody else who might have ever had success in one of these sorts of circumstances to figure out how to properly approach a situation that really does warrant tochacha. Next, this monologue of Moshe Rabbeinu goes, Acharei Hakoso es Sichon Melech Amori ves Og Melech Abashan. It was after these great wars with the two kings of the desert that Moshe Rabbeinu begins his conversation. And the Netziv makes a extraordinary observation that has been life-changing for me, and was life-changing, and I return to it, often. The idea is, why does it mention that this is post all those wars? Well, the reason why is that if Moshe Rabbeinu got up in the middle of a war and decided it was time to give a dialogue, that would just be, that would be out of place. It would be way the wrong time. Lahavdil, the laws for free speech in the United States of America say you can't regulate the substance of what somebody says, but the time, place, and manner is important, right? So yelling fire in a filled movie theater is off limits because it is not the time and the place, you know, to do something like that if it is indeed untrue. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu has to, if he's willing to, trying to impart wisdom, he needs to make sure that at the time. This is not dissimilar necessarily to Rev Wolbe's concept of Zriu Binyan. Says there are times where we are going to build our children and times we're going just to plant a seed. And implied in this, there are times where we just keep our mouth closed. I remember I sought Eitzah about one of my children, and I was told, don't say anything about 3 years. This is premature. It'll probably settle itself out on its own. And lo and behold, the person who said that was dead right. So that is the first point. Next is, oh, that is the second part, pardon me. The third one is a grah. It says that I saw this in the name of the grah. Says Dibir Moshe l'chol Yisrael. He says this to everyone, and it's just a simple grah. It says that the ikar, the most essential thing that that was sought by Moshe Rabbeinu in kind of giving his a part of his swan song, at least to call Yisrael, was this idea that you guys have to stick together. One of the most important things that Klal Yisrael needs to do is remember that we're a family. Families stick together, and that Achdus Yisrael is of extraordinary importance. Last one is a Rashi Kasha. So Rashi, right at the beginning of these words of rebuke, mentions a good number of reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu chose this time. These are not the same as the Netziv, also very, very, very important and poignant in that one of them is you might want to delay, you learn like by Yaakov Avinu, you might want to, you might want to delay, this is not Samach Lemitza, sorry, I should say the one, She'eno Mochicho V'chozer Mochicho, you shouldn't give somebody rebuke and then go back and give them rebuke again so that you say it late, close to when you die, so that way there's not going to be kind of this double rebuke. So if that's true, it kind of flies in the face of Chazal. We have a Mefurash Chazal that says, Hochiach teuchiach asamitecha, you're supposed to surely rebuke your brethren. And it says, afilu elef pa'amim, should be up to 1,000 times, or 100, mea pa'amim maybe, pardon me. Either way, the concept is clear, you know, as many times as it takes is probably what you're supposed to do. So there are two general approaches. The first approach is to say that reserving rebuke gives some sort of benefit to the person receiving the rebuke. So the Be'er Basada says that if one gives rebuke for something and then does it again, they'll probably mention what they had said before, and it could turn into onas devarim, hurtful, unnecessary, hurtful speech. Maharal says it's the reason for repeating would only be b'shas maisa at the time somebody's doing an avera and prevent further averus. The Trumas Hadeshin and Sifsei Chachamim say that if you rebuke early and then you do it again, you might not say all that needs to be said. So substantively, you might lose something. And the Maskil David says that repeating a tochacha would only be necessary for somebody who hasn't done tshuva, like to encourage them to do tshuva. But somebody who has done tshuva, you can't do that. So that would be the chiluk, the distinction. Approach number two is reserving tochacha would confer a benefit to the person giving the rebuke. So the Riva, the Tzedek LaDerech, and the Taz say that if you give somebody tochacha early on, and then you later, then you commit the same avera that you had rebuked them, it'll cause a lot of embarrassment when you're exposed as a hypocrite. So therefore, you should wait till the end of your life so you can assure that that won't occur. Last thing, thinking question. So Moshe Rabbeinu was advised from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tira Oso, do not fear Og. Why would Moshe fear Og? And the reason why is because Rashi quotes the Gemara Nida that Moshe was afraid that Og was the Pali in the story of the war on the four of the five kings that told Avram that Lot had been captured during that war, and then he had a big zchus, so Moshe Rabbeinu was warned about that zchus. However, the kasha is, you know, Og's intentions weren't so, Lefi Chazal, Og's intentions weren't so good. In fact, they were evil, because he had hoped that Avram would attempt to rescue Lot, die in battle, and allow Og to marry Yimenu. So if so, why would Moshe Rabbeinu be afraid of the zechuyos of Og when Og was really trying to do something evil and nefarious? Thanks for learning.